With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I have learned in all these years to take that responsibility of what could I have done different. And when I think about our marriage, I was very happy. He seemed to be very happy.
On this week's episode, I speak with Claudia Noriega Bernstein, and we talk about a moment in her life that changed everything, as we do on this show. But what was interesting is that we originally were going to talk about something different. And when we got on the call to start recording, she said she had been listening to some of the episodes and she wanted to kind of change it and talk about something that she hadn't really shared publicly. And so this moment that she talks about is something that, unfortunately, I think a lot of people can relate to. What I found most interesting is the journey that came afterwards and how she was able to find forgiveness and acceptance and help other people through situations that were very similar and find value or abundance in their life. So I hope you enjoy this episode and understand how impactful these episodes can be, both for the guest and hopefully for you as the listener. Before we get into the episode, I just wanted to again shout out the Patreon subscribers. So I just wanted to say thank you to Tracy and Mickey for sponsoring 2 episodes every month, and another friend who doesn't want to be named. And then my friend Brian and Sari are sponsoring 1 episode a month. And so I greatly appreciate this. This is helping to support the production costs. So if you're enjoying these episodes and you want to help support a little bit so that I can continue growing and adding new software and equipment to the podcast, please head over to the Patreon page, which is at www.patreon.com/The Life Shift Podcast. And you'll see a bunch of different tiers that you can choose from and different options to help support the show. So without further ado, I'd like to introduce you to Claudia Noriega Bernstein on this week's episode of The Life Shift Podcast. I'm Macil Huli, and this is The Life Shift, candid conversations about the pivotal moments that have changed lives forever. Hello, my friends. Welcome to the Life Shift Podcast. I am here with a brand new connection, Claudia. Hello, Claudia.
Hey, everybody.
I'm happy to have you here. And we were actually just talking before we started recording about all these moments in our lives that kind of change things. And Claudia has a lot of big moments in her life that have changed things. And surprise, right before we started recording, we decided we're going to go in a little bit of a different direction. And I'm excited about that because I think what Claudia wants to share today is something that many people unfortunately go through and experience. And I think what's going to be cool is to hear what you, Claudia, have done with that moment, where a lot of people might have done something different and maybe less productive. So that's a lot of teasing right there for everyone to listen to. But maybe before we get to that specific moment, you can give us a little bit about you and what your life was like leading up to this moment so we can kind of see that before and after for you.
Yes, you're right. I had a lot of pivotal moments in my life. And I was thinking a lot about it because I don't think I can, you know, I didn't think I could pick one specific, you know, and kind of dismiss the other ones, because to an extent, all those moments had brought me to where I am right now and to be the person that I am right now. So belittling or dismissing one or another one, it didn't seem fair to me. And when I was thinking about it, you know, about having cancer three times or losing my father, finding out that my dad had passed away right after my daughter was born, when I called him to tell him that my daughter was born, was extremely hard for me because, you know, I faced death and birth and life all at the same time, and I honestly didn't know how to handle it. Betray has been part of my life so many times that sometimes I ask myself, what is the other lesson that I need to learn? You know, why this keep happening to me when I have worked so hard to teach myself that when something happened, it's for me, not to me. So why am I continue being triggered with these relationships in my life that don't appreciate me or make me feel not appreciated or not valued or not worthy, you know, when I am working so hard on feeling worthy and trusting myself and believing in myself. And last night I was really thinking about this show. I listened again to a couple of your episodes, and I felt that it would not be fair to talk about my divorce because it wasn't just a divorce. I had just been diagnosed by my first cancer. I just had the surgery. You know, I still have stitches in my neck. I was working with my husband at that time, and we had the dream life. We really did. We worked together. We got along very well. We had three beautiful kids. We grew financially. You know, I work with him. I manage him. We manage both him. But, you know, I had the title per se. So we had created the life that we wanted. And one day after I had my surgery, I called him and I said, when you come back from work, can you bring me a gallon of milk? And he said, yeah, sure. I was asleep and I, for some reason, I woke up and I went to the window and I saw somebody sitting in my car. His car was in the shop. So I was like, who's sitting in my car? And why is this person in my driveway? You know, that was the first thing that was going on. So I went downstairs and we had a living nanny at that time. And I said to her, I'll be right back. And she's like, where are you going? I mean, you had a surgery yesterday. Where are you going? And I said, I need to do something. I'll be right back. So I got my, he had his car and we had the family car and I have a little convertible and he was in my little convertible. So I grabbed the family car and I went to the office, which was an apartment, and I thought, where else is he going to go? He didn't come all the way here to go back to the strip. You know, he had to go somewhere close, and that was close. When I got there, I saw my car park outside, and my stomach just twisted. Yeah, I mean, I didn't know what to do. I didn't know if I should just turn around and go home and tell him what I assume happened, or should I just face?
Did you recognize the person in that car?
No, I have never seen it. But he was an entertainer. So I figure it was somebody from the audience maybe, or I had no idea. You know, I was so lost because that was not the person I knew. I was like, wait, what? You know, what's going on? Is this a prank? I mean, what? So I had keys, obviously, of the office. We had an office in an apartment. And in the office, we have a sofa bed. So I walk into the place. By the way, I look horrible because it was... I just had a surgery. It was raining. So...
And you rushed out of the house.
I rushed out of the house. My Inspector Gadget brain decided to bring the spare keys of my convertible because at that moment was like, how dare he took somebody in my car, you know? And because in that moment, you don't think straight, you know? The point here was like, why he has somebody, period, there. Not in my car, you know, but it was like, so I moved my car to another parking lot around and I walked back. I was soaking wet for the rain. Not a pretty picture.
But it didn't matter.
It didn't matter because I needed to see it because I couldn't believe it. Because why somebody would do that to me? I was a good wife. I was a good mom. Why did you do that? And I was, oh. And I told you at the beginning, I don't talk about this. I'm getting a little emotional about it. I was in that moment because I'm trying to feel what I felt in that moment. And it was like, why? Why did you do that? You had it all. You had it all. Why? What was the need? You know?
And this was all in your, this was all happening in my head, before you even had confirmation.
Before I even see anything. So I went up the stairs because this place had like a garage underneath. So I went up the stairs and I stood up outside and I could hear them, which was terrible, you know? You don't want to hear. You don't want to hear that. But it wasn't enough for me. I needed to see. I don't know if I was being a masochist. I don't know if my heart was telling me, maybe it's not him. Maybe you didn't see him in the car. Maybe he lent your car to somebody else. Maybe whatever, you know? And honestly, if that would not have been him, it would have been a more awkward moment to walk into somebody's room with some girl, you know? But I stood at the door and she saw me and she said,
you walked in.
I stood at the door, at the frame of the door. The door was open and she turned around and looked at me and then looked at him. He was in his back and she said, who is that? And he said, my wife. And when he said that, I had a million emotions because he could have lied. You know, he could have said whatever. He was already there, you know. He could have said, I don't know. I don't know. You know? Or my ex-wife
my
or whatever.
House.
Yeah, get out of my place or whatever. So I walk away I said to him, I didn't throw a fit. I didn't make a scene. I look at him for like a minute and I couldn't find in my head the right words. And I said, please come and get your stuff tomorrow. I even said, please, very calmly. I was very surprised. Not that I don't throw fits like that or do scandals, but I was proud of myself for not losing my cool. And I went back home. And that was a moment where I look at myself in the mirror and cry for a long time. My kids were little. My youngest one was 11 months. My second one was 2 and my older one was 3. So I cry a lot. And then I keep looking myself in the mirror like, well, I can't believe it. You look like crap. You know, like, oh my God, I can't believe you did. Like, I was going back and forth, you know, I can't believe you did that and go there. And I can't believe he did that. And in that moment, you know, you feel that you're not worthy. You feel this little, you feel like you don't matter. And it's the worst feeling in the world to feel like that. And it took me. Not a while per se, you know, months, no, but it took me a few days to snap out of it and look at myself in the mirror again and say, hey, you got this.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's interesting because you talk about how you had this like idyllic life. You mm-hmm. had a successful business, a happy marriage, you had 3 kids, and then he didn't come home quick enough one night and all these thoughts started going through your head. You see someone outside in your car and like you just painted the picture of a movie. And to me, it's like you said the perfect thing, in my opinion, if someone, he probably expected you to yell or get mad or something, but you were very calm and you were like, just come get your stuff, which is probably the most hurtful thing you could say to someone like that that gets in trouble. So I commend you for that, actually keeping your cool and feeling that. But you said that, like, why me? This is this small moment in my life. Did you start to internalize? Like, did you start? Was there any part of you that was like, what did I do? Or
absolutely.
Did you always know?
No. I listen, coming forward, you know, like when where I am right now, I truly believe right now that we all have some sort of responsibility in everything that happens. Maybe it's 0.0001%. But we do, you know. When I was 15 years old, I was attacked in the street, not in the street, but coming down to the beach in my country. You could take the road or you can take
the faster way down,
you know, and you go to the dirt and whatever. And there was a homeless one day there and he jumped me. And so was it my fault that he jumped me? No, but was what I had some responsibility on going that way instead of going the way where everybody was going? Yeah, I should have not gone that way, you know? So, of course, every circumstance is different, but I have learned in all these years to take that responsibility of what could I have done different. And when I think about our marriage, I was very happy. He seemed to be very happy, and he has said it to me many times because we had had many talks. He passed away 2 years ago, but, you know, the last many years of his life, we were in a very good place. So we talked about everything. And I came to understand that he had demons and he had, you know, things that he couldn't control. And probably he should have gone for help. And probably I should have seen a lot of red flags that I refused to see. You know, and that's where my responsibility was. And I didn't, you know. I remember one time coming back home and finding a message in the answering machine to him saying, I wonder if your wife knows what you do after the show, so blah, 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 you know. And I was like to him, like, it was so foreign to me that, you know. And I said,
it didn't make any sense.
Right. I'm like, who is saying this to you? And he was like, this is this new guy that he's a jerk and forget about it. You know, he just is a troublemaker, but I will take care of this. I will go and talk to him. How dare he does that? And I'm like, yeah, how dare, you know, we have the perfect family here and he's trying to create trouble. I didn't think that was something that could happen in my life.
So anything that was trying to warn you was kind of just dismissed because you were, it could never happen to any of us, right? Like if we're living in this,
right,
in this perfect space, we think that, you know, going back to what you said about how you feel now,
mm-hmm.
I mean, we should all be so lucky to have that mentality that you have now about kind of taking responsibility for everything that happens,
right,
in general. Like, could I have walked half a second faster? You know, like even if you had gone down that hill,
right,
in your country and you had gone down 5 minutes later or someone had gone before, you know, like who knows? And so there is, yes, there is some responsibility, but that's so like emotionally mature of you.
Thank you.
To understand that. I think just people listening to this, I don't know that we all have that awareness that everything we do has some kind of consequence, good, bad, indifferent. So we do take some responsibility for those moments. So thank you for putting that out there. I think that's something that will definitely stick with me. I never really thought about it like that. So,
but I feel that that is, thank you. I feel that that is the beginning of your healing. When you start, it's like, I mean, for the longest time, I accepted an apology that was never given to me. Now that I needed him to come and tell me, I know I hurt you, I'm sorry. It's not that I really needed that. I just needed him to regret what he did. And he wasn't there. And he wasn't there for like 2-3 years after we got divorced. It was still him in the victim place. He told stories to people to justify his behavior. He accused me of being unfaithful. He did whatever he could to justify and not take responsibility. And listen, and every relationship is different, you know? I don't judge anyone that decide to continue a relationship after an infidelity has happened. Everybody's different. And I actually know somebody who cheated once and never cheated again, you know? And he's in a relationship and he's married and he's fine. But not everybody is the same, and there is not a formula for everyone. For me, because I had so many trust issues, I knew that I was not going to be a good wife for him. I knew I was not going to be a good mom for my children. And I knew that I would resent myself for shrinking to fit, for becoming somebody that wasn't what I wanted to be or I aspired to be and staying.
How long did it take you to get to that feeling? Because I think we often, at least in my awareness and the people that I'm around, we're often like, that's a big thing to understand, like leaving the quote unquote comfortable to the unknown. How long did it take you to kind of feel like this has to change? This has changed me.
I believe that the reason was different in every stage of my growth. I think that at the beginning was more a pride thing. How dare you did this to me? I'm leaving you. I'm leaving you. And he actually said to me, because I had all my eggs in one basket. So he actually said to me, you're going to come back crawling. You're not going to be able to make it on your own. And because at the beginning, you know, we both went through a grieving process in a different stages. You know, the grieving process you go through, denial, you're in shock, then you're angry, then you're sad, then you go through all that. We both went through that because there was a huge amount of love also. I mean, I have no doubt in my mind that he adored me, and I love him a lot too, you know, and I love what we have and I love our family. So I know we both felt that we have lost not just the other person, but what we had and what it could have been. And we both went through a lot of grieving, and he handled his grieving differently. You know, he started partying, he started being crazy and dating a lot of different girls and whatever. And I didn't. I went in because I didn't want that energy be shared with my kids. I wanted my kids to have that sense of consistency and security and everything is fine. And if mom is okay, we're going to be okay. And nothing bad is going to happen. It was hard. It was very hard at the beginning because, as I said, he didn't want it, the divorce. And that's another thing that I had to understand. I didn't understand that at the beginning, but I had to learn to understand that for a lot of men, love and sex are two different things. And it wasn't for me. I mean, for me, I have to love you to have sex with you. For him, he said it to me. He said, it was just sex. And I look at him like, okay.
Right.
But there is
that
no...
That doesn't excuse anything.
Right. Yeah. There wasn't any intimacy, because intimacy also could be just sitting in a couch and talking until 3 a.m, you know? So a lot of things went through my head to try to understand, but the constant feeling was, I'm not worthy. I'm not enough. And this is what happened, because I wasn't enough. And
So you were taking on some of that blame?
Yes. And it brought me back to my childhood when my dad left. And it took me back to my first relationship that was extremely physically abusive. And even now, I'm 55 years old and I have worked a lot on myself, and I was able to help other couples too, and other people overcome that feeling and that fear. I still go through that sometimes, even with my current husband. Not that I think that he's going to cheat on me, but if we have a blended family, so if he doesn't acknowledge, or I feel that he's not acknowledging my feelings and he's acknowledging somebody else's feeling, I feel for a second that unworthiness, you know, and I have to remind myself the process that I have gone through and shift and say, no, this has nothing to do with me. That's his choice. Those are his priorities. Those are his beliefs. And I still stand where I am, a whole. I'm a whole. I'm not half. I'm not a quarter. I'm who I am. And his behavior is not going to define me. His opinion is not going to define me. And certainly his actions are not going to define me. But it's a process.
Two things. You just said, you know, you're a whole person. Was that first marriage, did you feel that it was that Jerry Maguire kind of thing? You complete me? Was that kind of how your relationship was, where you needed that other person as were you a whole person at that point in time, you know, mentally and emotionally?
No, I mean, I got married after I was heartbroken. I saw the person that I was going to get married with, a family member. I saw them. So when I saw my husband with somebody else, all those triggers and that trauma came back. And again, I wasn't worthy. This is what happened. The same way that my first love chose or went with somebody else, even if it just was a physical thing. And again, I mean, it's kind of weird, you know, but that person passed away 3 years ago. And we also had the opportunity to have a heart-to-heart conversation. And he said to me, I regret the rest of my life.
Wow.
What I did. And he never married. He never got married. He says, I regret being weak. And again, it was sex. It wasn't love, you know? So when I married my first husband, I married him for the wrong reasons. And then being abused by somebody that you marry for the wrong reasons is like, how do you hold on to that relationship, you know? So it was, the trust is such an important thing. You know, trusting, and not only trusting the other person, but trusting yourself. It's so hard sometimes.
100%, especially after abandonment, whether that's in a relationship or you briefly mentioned, you know, your father leaving when you were a child. I think a lot of those early experiences, even like when my mom died, I did things that maybe I wouldn't have done before. You know, like I got better at school. Mm-hmm. I did more studying. I made sure that I got all A's because my irrational 8-year-old brain thought, if I don't, my dad's going to leave. Like, my mom left, not on her own choice, right? But I always felt like I had to do the extra things because everyone's going to leave if I don't make them happy. So I can understand that from a different perspective. Mm-hmm. And you know what's funny too, and I'll go to another question, but what's funny is lately, I've been doing this podcast now since March of 2022. Mm-hmm. And lately, I've wanted someone to come on the show to talk about cheating of some sort, infidelity of some sort. Mm-hmm. In the past, I've been the, I guess we'll say the victim of said event in a relationship. And it's a hard thing to
swallow,
trust again. And when you get in, like a new relationship, there's always that piece. Well, for me at least, always that piece.
It comes with you.
Right. And so you're like, well, they didn't call in the last 4 hours. What are they doing? Right. And they could be the best people you've ever met, but there's always this attachment to what's happened to you in the past that it's going to happen again. until you become that whole person, right? Until you kind of get that healing. But I can relate to kind of that feeling of, well, even, you know, your dad leaving and then you finding these relationships in which they needed you as well. Mm-hmm. And you kind of shrunk yourself to fit into the mold that they wanted.
But I wasn't ever a jealous person, and I'm still not a jealous person. That's the twist on this. Even though I was cheated and even though I was betrayed, because also my first marriage was a betrayed because I trusted this person and then he became abusive. I mean, I got my first slap on my honeymoon, you know? So he wasn't the person I knew or I thought I knew. So for me, wasn't and it's not a jealousy issue in the sense that I feel he's going to betray me again, or my husband is going to betray me, or my friend is going to betray me. My mom always said to me, you think everybody's like you, because you don't expect people to do to you what you're not able to do or you're not capable to do. So you're kind of naive in that sense, you know, and then somebody does something and you're like, I can't believe they did that, because you're not capable to, you know? So my struggle is with trust. You know, can I trust this person to be what I feel or I expect or I hope that person will be?
Because the fear of betrayal.
Because of my fear of betray. And even with my husband, you know, my actual husband, I mean, we've been together 17 years, but when a situation happens, I have to shift myself. I remember one time when I was married with my first husband, and my dad divorced my mom, but he was always part of our life, but he left our home. And he was a wonderful father. But he just, that moment that he left was very detrimental.
It changes you.
Yeah. Yes. So I remember clearly one time that I was with my first husband and my dad came to visit me and I had a black eye. So I pushed the button and, you know, from the intercom, and my dad said, I came to see you. And I said, I'm sorry, I'm very busy. I cannot see you right now. And I knew that I was breaking his heart by doing that. But at that moment, and this is horrible to say, okay? But at that moment, all those fears and all those insecurities and all those, I don't trust people or I'm not worthy, came into those conversations were in my head. And I was like, what if he knows and he doesn't do anything about it? So it's better if he doesn't know.
I wasn't even going there.
Right. It's better if he doesn't know that I'm being physically abused. So he won't do.
Because you don't want him to let you down.
Right. You know what I'm saying?
Wow.
So it's.
Yeah.
It is hard when somebody betray you. It takes a piece of you. And that takes so much to bring back. And even when you manage to, in paper, understand what a betrayed is and what impact had in your life, there are going to be those moments where the trauma is going to make itself present. And I hope you have the tools to shift and say, this is not true. And if that person is not going to defend me, that's okay. I can defend myself.
I think, I mean, that defines this whole version of you, right? This fully formed version of you. Before we get into kind of like how this really changed you, I mean, we've tapped on it a little bit, but I'm wondering if having that first cancer diagnosis and going through the surgery and anything, do you think that facing mortality feeling that people that have a diagnosed illness or disease kind of go through, was that... Do you think that was helpful in you moving forward after the betrayal?
It was a distraction for sure. It was a distraction because I didn't trust my husband. So I didn't trust him to be able to be there for my girls if he was not there for our family. So it empowered me to find strength and say to myself, if it's to be, it's up to me. I'm going to get this in control. I am going to raise my kids with love and joy. I'm not going to allow all these feelings that I'm feeling right now to change my heart, because I need to be a little selfish and I need to take care of myself. Because if I am not, if I don't have my cup full, you know, I cannot help anyone. And whatever is inside my cup is mine. Whatever overflow my cups, I can give to everybody else. But I need to have my cup full and I need to take care of myself. And I need to love myself again so I can teach my girls to love themselves in spite of anything. Betray, lies, people not valuing you, divorces, firing you, whatever it is that is a rejection in your life or you perceive as a rejection, you are enough. They are not pushing you away because you're not. And I do believe that. I mean, I do believe that I am enough. I'm not telling you I believe I am enough all the time, because as I said, I have those moments in my life that I go back to the trauma. You know?
Because you're human.
Because I'm human. And I feel lonely and I feel like that six-year-old when my dad left, you know? But I have the tools now to shift. And I have those conversations with myself. And when I journal, I write about how I feel. So then when I go back to those pages, when I am in a much better place emotionally and psychologically, you know, then I can see that, yeah, I was in a really low place that day, but I'm okay now. So if I was able to overcome that, then I can overcome anything, because the power is in me. The power is not in the person that is next to me. It's not in my kids. It's not in my job. It's not in the house I live. And that's why I coach abundance, because my abundance, it's in me. I will take my abundance anywhere I go, anywhere I go. I don't have a life of abundance because my husband is successful or because I live in a nice neighborhood. I have a life of abundance because I have created that life within myself. And my abundance is shared with everyone that wants to receive it, and they're open to receive it. And I want that abundance for my children as well.
So how did you get from that, what did I do? How could this happen to me, to a space where, I don't know, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but that you're almost grateful for some of these experiences and what they've taught you to become cup full? How did you get from that moment to where you are now in that feeling?
For a few years, I pretended to accept whatever people thought of me from the outside. You know, oh my God, you're a great mom. You're so creative. You're this, you're that. So I accept all that as true. And I had a moment.
Did you feel it?
No.
Did you?
No.
Okay. So you were like, okay.
I adopted it, you know, okay. Because it made me feel good. But then were those moments that I would say, but do I feel that that is true? And the first years were very hard because I really had to work hard to support my girls. I mean, you know, until he understood and was on board about how we should raise our girls together, even though we were not together, it was a struggle and it was hard. And in a way, I thank him for that, because it showed me that I really don't need anyone. That I don't care if I have to have three jobs, I'm going to provide for my girls because I am capable to do it. I am not going to call my mom or anybody else to help me because I'm going to be a victim. No, I can do this, and I'm going to prove to myself that I can do it. And that was the tip of the iceberg, because once I proved myself that I didn't need anyone, then I start valuing myself. And I change, and I have it on a sign in my studio. Fear for me is face everything and rise. And that's how I change it. And I start putting notes everywhere that I could to remind, to empower myself. So I start my healing by myself. And then I start reading a lot. I start opening up to have friends again because I didn't even trust anyone. So it was a process. Then I went years later, you know, I went to an emotional intelligence seminar. I learned a lot about, you know, emotional intelligence. I work a lot on myself. I did some trainings. I trained to be a coach. I start coaching people and learning from people as well. So it was like a buffet. You know, I picked and chose what was working for me because, number one, even though he was part of my kid's life at that point, I needed to be healthy and I needed to be good in my head as well to be a good parent and constant in my kid's life. So I had cancer twice after that, but I never feared that I was going to die because I was like, this is not going to kill me. I'm going to raise my kids.
You've done the work.
Yeah, this is not going to kill me. You know, and I don't know what's going to kill me because we don't know. But I was convinced and I convinced myself to the point that when my kids see somebody with cancer, they feel empathetic and they have compassion. But they said, my mom had it three times. You're going to be fine. You know, they are convinced that if you have the willingness to do something, you're going to achieve it.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Rebag, your premier destination for luxury resale. Elevate your style with our curated collection of bags, watches, and fine jewelry. At Rebag, quality is our priority. Each piece meticulously vetted and verified by experts, ensuring your investment is nothing short of perfection. Buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermès, Chanel, and Cartier. Access expertly crafted and hard-to-find pieces that redefine luxury. Your next investment awaits at Rebag. Get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's 10% off the luxury you deserve. Don't miss out. Head to Rebag.com and enter code REBAG10 at checkout. That's REBAG10.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
You said that, you know, in those first couple of years, people were saying like, you're a good mom, you're a great, you know, worker, you're all these things. And you said you kind of accepted that, but you didn't quite believe it. Do you remember the moment in which you were like, you know what? I am.
Yeah.
Like where that kind of started to, do you remember?
Yes.
Kind of what made that happen?
When I hear my kids talking, when I started to listening, because I was so overwhelmed with everything that I was like a robot, you know? And when I took a step back and started watching them, really how happy they were and how great the relationship with their dad was and how happy they were to see their dad and how I had achieved not to pass on whatever feelings I had at the beginning, because I also forgave him and forgave myself. Because not forgiving somebody is like, you know, drinking the poison and hoping that the person die, you know? I mean, no, it doesn't work that way. So I had to work on that. But we had to talk. And he had to say, I'm sorry. You know, I'm sorry. I mean, I was so stupid. And I I regret my whole life. We had it all and I was stupid, you know? I thought with my pants instead of with my head and my heart. And I said, and I'm sorry I didn't see the flags. And I'm sorry I didn't realize what you were fighting and what you were going through, because you have to also be empathetic. People think that having sympathy and empathy is the same thing. You know, when you have empathy, you have compassion for that person. You wear the shoes of that person. And at the beginning, I saw him as my enemy. You know, he's my enemy. But I had to put myself in the shoes of my enemy to understand. I might not have ever accepted what he did as, how dare you, you know? That was wrong. I'm not going to accept it as something that I'm not going to justify you. But I had to understand to be able to forgive him.
And then, you know, just listening to your kids talk about you and probably saying like good things or just how great their life is, it's kind of in the same concept of, you know, personal branding in a way. Is like what you hear other people say about you mm-hmm. is probably what you're putting out there. And so now finally what other people were saying to you and what you were putting out there, everything was matching.
Yeah.
And your kids were living
yeah.
the product of that, right?
And for me, I think during this process, I learned that oftentimes we justify when people has betrayed ourselves and we stay in those situations. But at the end of the day, we are betraying ourselves by justifying somebody else's betrayal. And as I said earlier, every relationship is different and everybody will take the decisions they think is best for them. But I think about the past and I think about the decisions that I made. And I even when he passed away, you know, I thought I was devastated when he passed away. He was my friend. I mean, he was the father of my kids, you know. It was hard. And it was hard also because I'm married again. I'm with my husband 17 years and, you know, we are in a celebration of life and everybody is sorry for my kids as they should be, but nobody thinks that I would be mourning, you know? And I was mourning. And to an extent, I still am for a lot of reasons. And like, I lost my dad when I was 25, when my daughter was born. And my daughter lost her dad when she's 25. So I think I know her pain because I experienced it. So now I'm experiencing her pain plus my pain all together. And it's hard.
It's hard, but you know what?
You're making me cry. Don't make me cry.
The human experience is, I mean, this is a good thing. It's good mm-hmm. that you're sad because I think, not to me.
It that is sounded really no, but bad, it's but true what you're saying. It's true what you're saying.
You're connected. Mm-hmm. You made your peace mm-hmm. with the situation. You created a relationship with this person in a different way after the fact,
right?
And now you're mourning the loss. I mean, I think that's. I don't know. I have these conversations and luckily all the people on the show have this understanding is like, we have to go through some of these moments and some of them are really hard, but those hard ones are the ones that mm-hmm. really make us.
Yeah.
So I get it. I get why. I mean, I think it's beautiful that you are mourning your ex-husband who did something to what your life was before, mm-hmm. you know, but at the same time, do you have this thought, I don't know how I'm going to word this, but do you have this thought in which you're almost grateful for the mistakes that he made because of who you are now?
Yes, I know. Because sometimes I think how would have been my life with my girls and him. And I think of the pain that he had to go through. as well. And that makes me sad that he had gone through that pain. So that's one side of the coin. The other side of the coin is me taking care of myself and growing, showing my daughters that you don't need a man or a partner. You want somebody to share your life with, but you are everything you need. You're enough by yourself. So it depends from which angle I see it. But altogether, if I'm going to give myself, or if I'm, you know, if I'm going to give self-love, then yes, I like the person that I am right now much better than the person that I was, you know, 30 years ago.
But I also wonder too, and I mean, he's not here to share this, but I wonder if that moment changed him as a human in a positive way, you know, after
right.
You guys had, you know.
To value, at least, you know, when something important in your life happens, you know, don't dismiss it. Don't take it for granted because it might not be there again. You might not find it again.
Yeah. Or, you know, with what he was facing and what he ended up doing and understanding that there are consequences and certain things, but also how can I learn from this? And so sometimes people are like, if you could go back in time, would you change things? You know, would you make sure your mom didn't go on that motorcycle trip? And I'm at this point in my life, I like who I am, where I am, who I surround myself with. So I wouldn't. And that sounds so terrible.
It sounds, yeah. But I understand what you're saying. I understand what you're saying. I mean, perhaps the price...
That's where that question came from.
The price of me becoming who I am was him going in a spiral after we got divorced and doing a lot of dumb things. And, you know, I'm sorry for you, but look who I have become. If I see it from that point of view, absolutely. You know, everything that I lived in my life had brought me to where I am right now. And I can't wait to make more mistakes. And I can't wait to learn more because that's the only way you learn. I mean, you don't know if you like vanilla or chocolate until you try them both.
And spit one out.
Exactly. And go like, oh, no, this is not for me, you know, or whatever. I like them both. Whatever it is, but you have to go through those experiences. And sometimes, because of fear, we don't go through that. And we stay in a situation where we are not happy, when we are not making anybody happy, where we teaching our children that you're supposed to settle because security is more important. I had people coming to me and say, are you nuts? Look the other way. Look where you live. Look what you have. And I was like, yeah, but then I have to look at myself. And I'm not going to like what I see. So I have to make a decision that is going to help me and my kids have a better quality of life, not quantity of things.
Which... that's a whole other story. I think what really struck with what you just said is I can't wait to make my next mistake. Do you think that that happily married version of Claudia would have said the same thing?
No. Because my mind and my perception of life and even my perception of abundance was different at that moment.
Was it more the things? Was it more quantity and...
I always have been very spiritual, but yeah, I think to an extent was like, you know, we have a great life, you know, I have, you know, a gorgeous husband and we have three gorgeous kids and, you know, our sex life is wonderful and we travel and we had a lot of fun. You're
checking all the boxes.
And we check all the boxes. Exactly. You know, so why would I waste my time thinking what abundance is? I'm fine.
You know, I'm so glad that before we started recording, you decided to talk about this. I think it's so important to see how something that a lot of people experience happens and what kind of that trajectory can look like for other people. Not saying, like you said, everyone can choose their own way to process. But I'm wondering, I'm thinking of the Claudia that is one day from surgery, soaking wet, heading home after discovering what happened. If you, this version of you, could go back to her and say something about what you know now, is there anything you could tell her that would help her?
I would definitely tell her that everything is going to work out, but I would give her the heads up about something that I learned many years ago, which is we tend to get attached to the worst version of ourselves because it's comfortable. And we do have a best version of ourselves that is available for us if we do the work. So I would say that to her. You're going to be okay, but don't get attached to this bad version of yourself. We are all capable to do wonderful things, and we are all capable to do nasty things. And it's our choice to decide which route we're going to take. I could have been a total different person. I could have poisoned my kids against their dad. I could have allowed my anger and my frustration to spill everywhere, you know, and I would be a very different person right now. And I make the conscientious choice to look to be a better person. I used to say, I'm working on my wings. That's what I'm doing. I'm working on my wings. And if somebody else betrays me, that's on them. Because I know in my heart that I did my best to be the best version of myself. And if it wasn't appreciated, it's their loss. It's not my loss. I'm already in a different level. I'm already in a different vibration. And that's where I want to be.
I always think it's so interesting to, because a lot of people will say like, well, I would say these things, but we have to go through it all. We have to go through that mess to realize those moments are actually going to come true. I don't think my 8-year-old version of myself would understand where I am now.
Right.
When his mom died. But I like to ask that question because it, what you just shared is so helpful for people to understand there is a best version of you, but you can take it to the nastiest version of you as well. And that's your choice on how you build your life and build who you are. I'm really glad that you wanted to be on the show. I know you reached out to me a couple months ago and we made it happen. And I'm really blessed to have this conversation with you and that you trusted me, since you said you don't really talk about this out loud. So thank you for just being a part of the Life Shift podcast.
Thank you. I really appreciate it. And if anybody's going through, you know, a betrayed or cheating or something like that, listen to yourself. Every story is different. You know, don't do what other people tell you you're supposed to do or you must do or what's the easiest road. Because at the end of the day, you're going to have to face yourself. The only person you have to give an explanation to is to the higher power and yourself. So have those nice conversations. Give yourself some self-love and talk to yourself and decide, is this for me? Is this, am I going to be okay in 5 years if I stay in this relationship? And if not, then trust the process. Trust the process. You are capable to overcome anything. Believe me, we are the best machine invented or created. So trust the process.
I think that's a good way to end this. What I'll do for everyone listening, I'll share Claudia's information. You have some books that you've published as well that they can check out, and we'll put your website and all those other things in there so that they can connect with you if they feel connected to your story or what you offer. So thank you for just sharing your life and your human side with us.
And thank you for being so kind. The way you show up makes me, and I'm sure your guests too, be in a very self place to open up. And that is very important. You know, I wanted to have that conversation before the show with you to see how I felt, because always trust comes, you know, around me. And I see, am I trust this person to open up? And you have a way to communicate that is very trustworthy. And I appreciate you giving me the time and the space to share my story.
I think you're trying to make me cry at this point, but thank you for saying that. For everyone listening, if you're enjoying the show, and you want to help me out, a rating and a review is super helpful on Apple Podcasts. You can rate on Spotify, but apparently those help. And if they don't, they just make me feel good at the end of the day. But only do it if you're going to give 5 stars. So thank you to Claudia. And thank you guys for listening. And we will be back next week with a brand new episode. Thanks so much. Information, please visit www.thelifeshiftpodcast.com.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.